Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. This, by the way, if you're listening in audio form, is a video show. We are out here on video today as I spin awkwardly in my chair, if you're watching, and scooch up a little bit. We're talking some football, as always. I mean, it is a football podcast, obviously. But we are here today to talk all about some games. I have Pittsburgh, Baltimore over here on my right. So if I glance over there, that's what I'm doing. But I've got my game notes full up to the brim. Just tons of stuff to talk about today. A lot of stuff to jump into. One, the NFL forgot how to play defense. And, I mean, a lot of people are against it. I kind of love it as... Oh, Antonio Brown finally ends the drought. Big Ben, really nice throw to him back shoulder. Ben hasn't looked great tonight, but on that throw he looked fantastic. So that's a good sign for Steelers fans if you enjoy watching the team from the Three Rivers region of this country. They look on their way to coming back and having the score only within 1 point of 13-14. All right, let's get to some of these games, and let's start with the Tennessee Titans and the Philadelphia Eagles. And let me tell you something about this game. It was a defensive slugfest. Like, the rest of the league was playing a lot of offense today, and I mean, that's cool, I like it, but sometimes you gotta have some defense for the people out there who enjoy the defensive side of the ball, and this was certainly that. A final score of 26-23 in overtime. Let me just say, Carson Wentz looks great. He looks all the way back as this music plays in the background off of the, the thing. Real Brian Willis says the Texans' defense is average. I would disagree. I thought the defense played great against the Eagles. Carson Wentz had a good day, 348 yards, 2 touchdowns. He's not the problem for the Eagles. For some reason, the defense was a problem for them today a little bit. I thought that the Titans played pretty well. They got to the passer. They did their job. They got here, as I pull up the stats, they had 4 sacks on the day. So I don't know, Brian. Like, they seem like a pretty decent defense to me in coverage. They're a really good team. And I think that they can be a team that is, as I hit the back button, sorry, a team that shouldn't be slept on right now. They are somehow in the lead of the AFC South without really having a great offense. The coaching staff for Tennessee has been tremendous. They are coaching way above their talent level. I think that the Tennessee Titans are a legitimate team to watch in the AFC South. I think that it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season plays out for them, but they're certainly not a team I'm counting out. I think that the Titans look like an average team on offense, although Corey Davis today stepped up, 161 yards receiving and 1 touchdown. But outside of him, Marcus Mariota doesn't have a ton of great wide receivers, and they are really struggling with drops, 5 today. So, I mean, that's how this game kind of played out. Again, I'm sorry for our audio listeners. I'm here with a video show. I'm sorry if you're commenting. I'm really bad at reading the comments of a live show and keeping a steady pace at the same time. I probably won't. So if I don't get to your comments, it's not because I don't like you. It's just because I'm not coordinated enough to read both the comments and talk about the games. But yeah, Tennessee's defense looked great, I thought. Carson Wentz looked back, but in the end, the difference in this one was the fact that the Eagles really kind of fell apart defensively in overtime. All right, on to our next game, the Bears and the Buccaneers. And, of course, the huge story coming out of this one was the fact Mitchell Trubisky threw 4-6 touchdowns. I'm going to have an unpopular take here. I don't quite buy this Bears offense yet. I get that Matt Nagy is an offensive-minded coach. I get that he's going to design great offenses. He had a masterful offense today. Players were running wide open. Taylor Gabriel showed up. He had The second most receiving yards, 104, only second to Tariq Cohen, who is now this team's number one running back. They've basically taken Jordan Howard completely out of the equation. Howard only had 11 carries for 25 yards. He doesn't really fit with this Nagy system, and I'd expect him to go with Cohen a crap ton from here on out, if we want to put it in layman's terms. But the receiving core really spread out. Two players with seven or more receptions, Cohen and Gabriel. Burton had a big play for a touchdown. Allen Robinson hasn't been a part of that offense yet, but I'd expect him to take off if they continue playing this way. Again, though, I'm not ready to say yet that Mitchell Trubisky is this great world beater. And the Buccaneers' defense is just really bad in general. And I just don't buy if you put up a lot of yards against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because the defense was awful. The Buccaneers looked awful in this game. Pulling Ryan Fitzpatrick was an awful mistake, too, because Jameis Winston came in, threw two interceptions. Both of them were awful, took more pressures, held the ball longer than Fitzpatrick did. Fitzpatrick, even though the yardage is 20 yards more for Winston and he has four less incompletions, like, Fitzpatrick was the better quarterback in this game. I think that the Buccaneers need to take a really serious look at their quarterback situation and maybe evaluate going back to Ryan Fitzpatrick, because I don't think Jameis Winston has it. I'm convinced he is a bad quarterback at this point. And you got to go with Fitzmagic, because with him in the game, he was making Mike Evans look good. Chris Godwin was good. When Winston came in the game, Godwin completely disappeared. This team is a mess with Jameis Winston at quarterback. You got to go with Ryan Fitzpatrick, in my opinion. If they don't, they're dooming themselves, because the defense can clearly stop nobody. They have not had a good game defensively all year long. as I start coughing uncontrollably because I have no water in my water bottle that I just reached for. It's empty. That's cool. On to the next game, though. Packers. Bills. Our good friend Brian Willis is probably interested about this one. The Packers and the Bills. Few takeaways. Aaron Rodgers' knee looks good. And, I mean, it's obviously not what Packers fans want to see, but he ran the ball five times for 35 yards. Like, his mobility looked good. He was sluggish the past 2 weeks, but this week he looked fine in the pocket. I really liked what I saw from him. Jimmy Graham got his first touchdown, got involved early. But then the Packers offense kind of took a dirt nap between the second and fourth quarters. But they didn't turn the ball over. They were effective. The story of this game was just how abysmal the Bills offensive line was. This is an insane stat. Josh Allen was pressured 64 times. 64 times the pocket collapsed on Josh Allen. That's insane. And the Packers, this is the Packers, a team that I would say has zero pass rush, pressured him 64 times and sacked Josh Allen 7 times. And of those sacks, only two that I saw were Allen's fault. This guy is playing with no one around him. The Bills are a train wreck on the offensive line and a train wreck on the offensive side of the ball. Kevin Benjamin keeps dropping balls. He got injured today. Josh Allen looks good sometimes. He has a great delivery. I'm kind of buying into him. But he has zero people around him. I don't think you can judge him based on this season. I think he needs more pieces around him. I think they need to go out and make some moves this coming offseason. And they got to figure out something. They got to change the coaching or fire a coordinator or rearrange your pieces on that team or something, because the Bills just aren't a good football team. And it starts with the offensive line. You can't run behind it. You can't pass behind it. And you can't have any offense behind it. And I thought the Bills' defense looked pretty good in this game. Josh Allen didn't really have any bad throws except for an ill-advised end zone he threw to the interception he threw across his body to the end zone. Just kind of a rookie mistake, though. I'm just shocked by how bad this Buffalo Bills offensive line is. And obviously, you can't sleep on them or you'll have what Minnesota has. But the Bills still are, in my opinion, especially from... We'll get to the Cardinals later, but I was impressed from what I saw from the Cardinals. The Bills are the worst team in the National Football League. And I would be shocked if this team gets over four wins. I think they can get to four wins because everyone is winning this NFL season, minus the Cardinals, who, again, I said looked good. But still, I think the Cardinals have played better than the Bills have. And they're the only team with a loss so far through 4 weeks. So that shows you how weird this NFL season has been. There's no teams we can really trust yet, and we'll talk about that on Wednesday. Power Ranking Show, Usaid Koshal. We're going to get him back for the first time in a while. I can't wait. If Usaid somehow gets a chance to listen to this or watch this, man, I'm so excited to have you on. It's always great to talk football with you, and I can't wait to talk about power rankings of some teams we're buying, some teams we're not. Team I'm not buying, the Miami Dolphins. I mean, how many times have we seen this before? Everyone counts the Patriots out. Tom Brady comes out, puts up monster stat line, and scores a lot. Now, all that being said, Tom Brady, his throws were not good. Like, he was not able to effectively throw the football downfield. He had accuracy issues. He had issues getting enough strength on the ball. He looked like a quarterback in decline, and the fact that he only had 274 yards and threw two interceptions shows that. Tannehill, by the way, did not look good. 100 yards, 11 throws, one interception. They bought Brock in at the end and threw a touchdown. Quarterback controversy? No. Don't give me Brock Osweiler back in my life. Please, please, God, no. I can't take... I'm so sorry. I can't take Brock Osweiler. I just can't... I can't take him for another week. By the way, Steelers-Ravens just went to halftime. Waiting for tied 14-14. So that's an interesting game to keep an eye on. We will recap that one on Wednesday's show. But just kind of interesting stuff from this game as far as the Dolphins go. The Patriots, though, they got one key thing that's really important. They established a run game. Sony Michel, 25 carries, 112 yards, and a touchdown. If the Patriots can establish a run game, they're going to be fine. And the defense fixed themselves. Again, this is Ryan Tannehill. And I mean, maybe the Patriots aren't going to be, as I've said kind of throughout the offseason, things like that, I don't think the Patriots are going to be an above 11 win team. I think they might be a wild card team. But they're going to win this division. Like, let's be honest, they're going to cruise through. They've got their schedule coming up. Let me pull it up here. I'm a little bit curious just so we can kind of look ahead. They have the Colts on Thursday night, which we'll get to the Colts in just a second. In fact, I believe they're our next game. They got the Colts Thursday night. Then they play the Chiefs. That's a tough game. They got a tough stretch ahead, so they need this win. The next three games, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Bears. They needed this win. And then they play the Bills, the Packers, and the Titans. This is a tough schedule coming up for the Patriots. Do I think they'll... Six games, they'll probably win four of them. But still, you know, going in at 6-4 is not usually what you expect the Patriots to be. But good game for them today. I'm not worried about them. People shouldn't be worried about them. They look like the Patriots. Colts, Texans, let's please just throw away this narrative, okay? The narrative that somehow Andrew Luck is bad. Like, I heard this a lot, like Andrew Luck doesn't have it anymore, Andrew Luck's... Yeah, like you could take that away from watching the game tape, I get it, but I never really bought it. Because, like, I mean, come on. He comes in today. They throw the ball 62 times. That's a career high for him throwing the ball. That's insane. Like, one, the Colts need to find a run game because they don't have one. 41 total yards on the ground today. If they keep throwing like this with Andrew Luck, he's going to blow his arm out, obviously. But today he looked fantastic. 464 yards through the air. 7.5 yards per throw. 4 touchdowns. 40 for 62, 108.5 QB rating. That's insane. This guy's great. He only took 4 sacks and got pressured 27 times. Like, I don't get the concern over Andrew Luck. I really don't. He is, as I look, extremely fat leaning back. I get it. But I don't get it. I don't get the skepticism of this guy who is so clearly an awesome player. People somehow think that he's suddenly fallen off or something. Like, no, he isn't. Like, he's still Andrew Luck. He's perfectly fine. Like, stop doubting on this guy. One thing that didn't hold up today, Colts defense, which was, by the way, an asset for them the first 3 weeks, not an asset today. Deshaun Watson, by the way, he's been getting some real hate through the first 4 weeks. He doesn't deserve it. His stats have not been bad. Deshaun Watson is not the reason the Texans are losing. Their line is the reason the Texans are losing. Like, you look at his stats here through the first four games of this season. He already has 1,246 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. Coming on here is the Browns Raiders game. I won't get a chance to watch those highlights. That's at the end, so we won't spend a ton of time on that one. But back to this game. Deshaun Watson looked good. DeAndre Hopkins did awesome DeAndre Hopkins things, 169 yards. Kiki Kuti came out of nowhere as this guy who got 11 receptions, 109 yards. Texans look good. Both of these teams looked good throughout this game on offense, and I would not count out either one of these teams. Like, I know everyone wants to doom the Texans for starting 0-3, but I mean, the AFC is wide open. Like, there is not a single juggernaut team in the AFC. Like, even the Chiefs have a weakness. The Chiefs' weakness is they can't play defense. Like, anyone can make the playoffs in the AFC. Legitimately, any team that is playing right now, even the Raiders today, who got their first win. I would not count out either of these teams. I think that they're both much better than the records show. J.J. Watt showed up, 2 sacks and a fumble. J.J. Watt's back to beating J.J. Watt. Jadeveon Clowney came through for a sack today, too. Texans, like, they started slow, but they might get hot here really, really, really quick. Chris is talking here about the play call. I don't hate it. Like, Frank Reich throws a ball near his own 50. No risk it, no biscuit. Like, what do you want him to do? Take the tie? Like, no, you play to win the game, as Herman Edwards says. Like, you don't play to tie the game. That's not effective for your team. That doesn't help your team's morale. You believed in your offense. Your offense went out. The Texans' defense stood strong. And ultimately, it's on your defense for not being able to contain this team for 10 yards and giving them an easy chip shot field goal to win the game. It's on the defense. It's not on Frank Reich having some balls and saying, hey, I want to win this game instead of tie this game. And anyone who says that it's just something that Frank Reich should be condemned for, wanting to win a football game, does not, that's how much I care. My stand got knocked over. I don't trust your takes on football. You play to win the game. It's a competitive sport. You play to win. Frank Reich went to win, and he didn't get it. You win some, you lose some. I mean, that's just the way it is. But anyways, T.Y. Hilton lost in this game. That's a big loss for him coming up against the Colts on Thursday night. I hope I'm not ranting too much. I feel like I've been a little bit rantier lately, which is not necessarily what I want to be. But, you know, sometimes you got to, like, defend
you got to call out trash takes. The take that Frank Reich is not a good coach because he believed in his team is a trash take. Like, believe in your team, do that. I would have made that play call. I would have gone for it on four. You got to play to win the game. The guy had some cojones, showed some balls. Good for him. Thumbs up. Thumbs up, showed some real courage, did his thing. All right, on to the next game. Chargers, Niners. I won't lie, I'll get back to you guys on this one. I didn't get time to watch game tape on this one at all. No highlights, no nothing. So, CJ Beathard just going off the box score. Looks like a real QB. And the Chargers are very, 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 I have six varies here, concerning. I'm glad I got out on them about a week ago because they do not look like a good football team right now if they cannot stop CJ Beathard. And if they don't have Joey Bosa back till week nine like I am, it is not something I am looking forward to if I am a, oh my God, a Chargers fan right now. Because your defense is non-existent. Your defense is non-existent. Real Brian Willis is scared of the dark. So am I. So am I. The Bengals. The Falcons. By the Bengals, by the way. 3-1. This team's legit. But for what they are. I'm not saying that they're some kind of Super Bowl contender. I'm not going to believe in them in January until I see it in January. But by this team. They are a legitimate division winner, playoff contender. Like, I could see them being a first or second seed in the AFC right now. This team, this Bengals team is really good. The defense is really good. They ran up against an insane offense. And everyone who's been killing Steve Sarkisian, myself included, oh, Sark, an apology. Obviously, Matt Ryan just needed a year to learn this offense because it is insanely deep. Mohamed Sanu showed up today. Calvin Ridley, Julio Jones. The Falcons are a really fun team to watch, but I just don't know how many games they're going to win because of the defense. And you can blame the defensive players, whatever. Like, I get it. That's fair. But I won't, because this team was injuries. Like, it's all injuries. You are playing your backups at your three most important positions. And people who say you can't have a pass rush, duh. You can't have a pass rush if you have a bunch of second-string secondary players who can't cover for more than 10 seconds. Like, you have to get guys that can cover to create a pass rush. I firmly believe that. That's kind of one of the things I think isn't talked about enough in football. You need a coverage team to get to the quarterback, and the Falcons don't have a coverage team because of injuries. It sucks for Falcons fans because I don't know if they're a playoff team with the way they play, because if they can't stop anyone, that's a problem. It's awesome for us football fans because I love this offense. I love watching Matt Ryan throw it, and I mean, obviously, guys who don't make the playoffs a lot don't really win MVP, obviously. But in just 3 weeks, not counting the first week, because his first week of the season, of course, was awful, Matt Ryan's on MVP pace. Like, 1,316 yards, 10 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's an MVP stat line through 4 games. That is an MVP stat line through 4 games. That's all I'm going to say. Like, sure, you can take it or leave it. They don't win a lot of games. You don't want to give him the MVP. He's playing like an MVP. He's playing like an MVP right now, and it's really fun to watch. I'm really glad that Matt Ryan is who I kind of thought he was, which was this guy who's just going to be a really fun player. Oh, I am so sorry, guys. A really fun player who is going to, you know, do his thing, win some football games, sling the ball around the yard. That's what I like to see. John Ross showed up, promptly got hurt. Tyler Eifert out. That hurts that offense. But Tyler Boyd is a real deal, and so is AJ Green. And if they have two quality wide receivers, this Bengals team's legit. Defensive line got to Matt Ryan today, too. Like, I thought this looked This was an all-around solid Bengals performance. Coaching-wise, too, in the fourth quarter, they came up with some key stops. Jags, Jets, it's a respect Blake Bortles kind of day. Came out, put up a huge stat line, and for that reason, Jags won the game. Jags won the game because Blake Bortles had a great game. That's the way this team will be. If Blake Bortles has a half-decent game, this team is going to win a lot of games. If he doesn't have a good game, they're going to lose that game, you know? So, he's an up-and-down quarterback. He shifts from one spectrum to the other really quickly from week to week. But this week was a great Blake Bortles week, and Jags defense still played great. Darnold was good in that he didn't turn the ball over to a Jags defense that literally thrives on turning the ball over. All right, final two games I want to talk about today. Oh, Detroit-Dallas. Let's cover that. I don't have any notes because I watched that game. Detroit's forming a running game. Dallas showed up with the passing game. It's really disappointing that the Lions lost this game. They were the better team, in my opinion. They played better. It just came down to poor kind of clock management and giving the Cowboys too much time to score. Credit to Dak Prescott. He bounced back. He played average, which is more than he could say for either of his other performances. Credit to Ezekiel Elliott, who was able to find the holes today. So that's that game. I'm majorly depressed by the Lions because they play a fun style of offense, but I just they're so inconsistent. I'm not sure how far they're going to make it this year. Cleveland, Oakland, Matt Pierce, hope you're watching. I didn't see this game. I only saw snippets of highlights and box scores. Browns almost choked away. The Browns choked away the game. They had a huge lead. If Baker Mayfield doesn't throw 2 second-half interceptions, this game, I am convinced, goes to the Browns. But when Baker puts you in tough positions, the defense has to withstand a lot, and they couldn't. And I'm not going to say this, like, I know Chris, who I think is watching, wants me to say, like, this Cleveland defense is bad. They're not bad. They just had a bad game. Good defenses have bad games. And I think that the Browns are a team that this is one bad game for their defense. I think it's going to bounce back. But the fact that the Browns in 2018 are able to stay in a 42-45 shootout is really impressive. They found a ground game, I believe over, I have the stat written down, 200 yards on the ground, 3 rushing touchdowns. Lions aren't an average team if you watch their offense. Go watch the offense and come tell me they're an average team. I don't think you're watching the offense. The Browns, they stayed competitive. So that's my nice thing I'll say about the Browns. The Raiders, good for them. They came back. They won a game. Good for John Gruden. His offense finally kind of showed up. Derek Carr had a good game in the second half. Props to them. I'm not really changing my opinion on either one of these teams, though. I'm still really excited about the Browns. I'm still really not excited about the Oakland Raiders. Seahawks, Cardinals. David Johnson played well for the first time in a while. Put up some good stats. He was freaking awesome in this game. Replaced with a different F word on my copy, but I'm trying to swear less. He was freaking awesome in this game. He just was. He did an awesome job of running the ball. He was fantastic out of the backfield. A lot of that had to do with Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen played incredibly well in this game. The Cardinals were able to protect at times against the Seahawks pass rush, which is more than the Bills could say. Josh Rosen, when he was protected, made good throws. Rest of the day was a little bit up and down. This was a really good defensive matchup for most of the game. Earl Thomas, of course, broke his leg. I haven't heard anything, but I would imagine out for the season, which just sucks. You feel for the guy doing everything he could to stay healthy, not practicing if he had a headache. And he comes out and he plays a game. And this is just a case for why you should always root for the players in these situations. Like, all of a sudden, bang. A massive contract for a guy who was playing the best defensive football in the secondary in the league is gone. Poof, gone like that. Now the Seahawks have all the leverage because
who's going to pay a guy coming off a broken leg injury? Like, he's aging too. Safeties only get really one good contract. Defensive players only get one good contract. And because of this injury, he doesn't get it. And people have a problem with him flipping off a crowd. Like, come on. The guy just lost a large share of his livelihood for the rest of his career because of a non-contact leg injury. Because a team and an owner was too selfish not to pay their best player. Like, come on. Damn right he can flip off a crowd. I endorse that. You're pissed off. Damn right. And he should be. The Seahawks screwed him over. I'm all Earl Thomas on this. It's just despicable that the Seahawks couldn't pay this guy. And now he's not going to get the biggest contract of his career. Like, you've hurt a guy's financial chances. And people want to root for the owners. Come on. Unbelievable. That's all I got to say. I'm heated up on this. Obviously. Cardinals had a shot to win, too. Missed field goal doomed them. But yeah. That is that for this show as we get back to Steelers Ravens. If you have any questions, I'll stay here on the live Periscope kind of thing for the next few minutes or so and answer them. If not, thanks for watching the show. Really good time for those of you who did watch. I believe Jonders is watching. Thanks, Jonders. Always a fan. We'll have to get you on soon. I can't wait. I'm really sorry about the Earl Thomas injury. I know you probably feel the exact same way I do about him not getting the respect he deserved from the Seahawks, but it is the way it is. Shout out to anyone who watches. Thank you to our listeners as well. You guys are awesome. Keep listening. Nice little show today, 31 minutes long. Hopefully you guys can listen to this on your lunch break and still have a lot of football information in your life. All right, we will see you on Wednesday when we have Usaid Koshal to talk some power rankings. Keep an eye out for those on prosportsfan.com. Thanks, guys. Peace out. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.